Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew, and tonight I'd like to welcome my guest, documentary filmmaker and official representative to the Billy Meyer UFO context, Michael Horn. Michael, how you doing tonight?
I'm fine. How the heck are you,
Chris? Oh, I'm very good. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate you joining us tonight.
It's my pleasure. I'm looking forward very much to, hopefully answering some questions, sharing some information, and jumping right in with whatever you'd like to know here.
Very good. Now, this case is one of the most fascinating UFO cases because it's also one of the most compelling, I find. I find that the evidence is there. It's some of the most compelling evidence I've ever seen in a case. And before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about how you got involved, a little bit about your background.
Well, those are in a way two different things. I got involved in this in 1979 when I walked into a bookstore in Los Angeles and I saw the first photo book of Meyer's UFO photos with other information about this case and its investigation that was being led by an American team led by a retired military Lieutenant Colonel from the Air Force, Wendell Stevens. And my own background, in a way, it's not unexpected, but in other ways, when I was a kid back in the 40s and 50s, I was having dreams about lights in the sky and stuff like that. I was very into the really early space shows that were on radio and then on TV. And then I kind of, after that, lost my interest pretty much in anything sci-fi for a long time. And I'm still not that interested in sci-fi because of the Meyer case. It's so beyond sci-fi. So, yeah, when what you were saying about the evidence, I go further. I say it is the most compelling evidence, and it's the only authentic case that has been proved to be authentic through independent expert analyses and testing and, evaluation. And the beauty of it is that anybody can take that claim and take the information and the evidence and go through it themselves and see what conclusions they come to.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, it is very compelling stuff, like you said. And let's start at the beginning. Let's start with Billy. How did he first make contact? What happened to him in the beginning? And what is his background a little bit?
Well, he was a young boy in the late 30s and 40s growing up, in rural Switzerland. And in 1942, at the age of five, he and his father had observed a large silver disc flying overhead, and he didn't know what it was. He asked his father. His father didn't know, but his father said, perhaps it's just a secret, weapon from Hitler. This is World War II, shortly before the end of World War II, within a year or two. And so that was, quizzical for them. It was shortly thereafter that young Meyer heard the voice of an older man speaking to him in his Swiss-German dialect in his head. And this confused him a little bit, obviously. And then shortly after that, he had gone outside one day to play and to wander through the forest, which was, part of his wonderful natural life there. And there was a clearing. And in the clearing, there stood a pear-shaped craft on three strut-like legs with an elderly-looking gentleman standing right next to it in what Meyer described as looking like a deep-sea diver suit without the helmet. And he said the man just had a very normal, natural, benevolent feeling to him. No fear was engendered in him. And the man beckoned him to come forward. He went on board the craft with the man. And that began 11 years of, what would you call it, tutoring and knowledge and, all sorts of experiences of being taken around this world and being shown other parts of of our solar system and different things that you can almost not imagine. So he then embarked on this amazing life with the contact with these people that continues to this day.
Now, these people, they were described as just looking exactly like normal human beings?
Yes, they are virtually indistinguishable from us. He has met members of these extraterrestrial races, primarily one race, but there are a couple others connected to it, they look either Caucasian, slightly Negroid, or Middle Eastern, Asian. They represent very much what we would recognize as someone coming from our own world. So that was of great interest to him.
Wow. So these meetings, did they take place always on the ships, or did he go to different places to have these meetings with them?
Well, what happened is the meetings would take place from these earlier years. Very often they would take place in somewhere rurally where he lived all through this different time. And let's say this up into his early teen years, he did run away to join the French Foreign Legion for a short period of time when he was under the tutelage of his second contact person, a woman whose name was given as Asket. And so he would meet with them in rural environments and or in their ships. They would beam them aboard the ships. And his meetings with Asket also took place in other countries, in Jordan and I'm trying to think if there were any other specific countries named, but she met with him, and the ship would set down sometimes at places, depending on what the purpose of the contact was. Sometimes they'd be in a certain place.
So did they ever say why him? Mm-hmm. Why specifically did they contact him?
Sure. Well, this gets into some of the meat of the matter, and that is that according to the information in this case, and I like to preface things in those terms because what happens is we don't know certain things in our world a lot. We either believe something or we don't believe it, but we don't yet know. We don't have the science. We haven't discovered whatever. Such is the case with all the information centering around what's called reincarnation. So in many, you know, New Age paranormal circles, people take it for granted that there's new reincarnation, even in some traditions that might be, you know, considered religious or what have you. But nobody can prove that or disprove it. In this case, in part, which is centered around what's called the spiritual teaching, in the spiritual teaching, they explain that reincarnation is very much a fact of life. I have a bumper sticker I put out like reincarnation, don't worry about dying, you'll live through it. A little joke. Okay, so what happens is we have two elements that are spoken about. We're familiar with the term soul, but it's actually a misnomer. Soul really refers to a construct around the solar plexus, solar plexus, which is temporary in each life. It's we are not souls that wander the universe. A soul is connected to the emotions, the personality, various aspects of the current consciousness personality. The spirit is the eternal, immortal part of us that is located deep within the center of the brain that reincarnates countless numbers of times over millions and millions of years in the course of evolution. So that brings us back to your question. The answer in this material is that the spirit that currently enlivens Billy Edward Albert Meyer, 81 years old, one-armed Swiss farmer, so to speak, he's not really a farmer, but that spirit is beyond ancient. It is enormously ancient, and according to this information, it's really the most ancient incarnated spirit anywhere in the universe, and it has a very particular function in many but not all of its reincarnations and incarnations as new personalities. And that role, that function is to work with an advanced space traveling race when it is incarnated on a planet to act as a prophet, not a celebrity gig here. It's pretty rough. In other words, to act as someone who will bring forward information from a more advanced race for the benefit of the population, especially focused on what's called the spiritual teaching. There's many other things covered too, but spiritual teaching so that we could learn how life really works, how thinking works, and why we have fallen into such a dangerous, dangerous pit that could result in the extermination of life on the planet as we know it.
Right. We definitely have not learned those lessons yet. And, you know, say we were to learn those lessons, is there a level after this that we, I guess, ascend to?
Well, yes, but not the way it's put forward in all of this New Age mumbo jumbo, which is really warmed over Christianity with some Egyptology thrown in and a bunch of mysticism. That idea of going into a higher plane with a light body and all of that, that'll happen in tens of millions of years or more. It doesn't happen now. There's no evidence. If people just look around, you're going to go, wait a minute, there's nothing the matter with matter. We're in 3D. It works this way, and it will work this way for a long time. This is why the UFO and paranormal communities have done such a huge disservice, really comparable to the disinformation from the governments. These groups have hindered the truth getting out to people who want to know it. So instead, they peddle ascension, light bodies, 5D, all this stuff, which is absolute BS, and it keeps people from being aware of what's really going on here in this world in which you do live, and which you're not getting out of alive, and you want to extend that lifetime along, but there's a lot of things that are threatening that, and for yours, the younger generations, you people are inheriting this mess from all the idiocy that's preceded, and in many ways you're equipped, but in other ways it's harder, because a lot of the reference points for things for the younger generations are solely through screens and internet and phones, not through reading books, not through meeting people and doing research and traveling and all. So you get peddled absolute garbage that you have to weed your way through. The Meyer case, now that you've discovered it, a lot of people that will watch this show, they don't know anything about it. Why? Because it's real, it's true, and it's been suppressed. Meyer has been targeted at least 23 times for assassination, and he survived. So it tells you something's going on. And what they don't want you to know is what's in this material. Because if your generation gets smart to this in time and doesn't end up getting biochipped and enslaved, which is coming fast down the pike, then the history can be rewritten, the future history where things turn out better than they look like they're going to at this time.
Very good. And I believe to know where we're going, we have to start with where we come from. And that's another question that I'd like to ask you is, where did they say that we come from? Where are our origins?
Well, there's two things here. There are, according to this information, when a planet reaches a condition in which it can support human life after it evolves for millions of years, what have you, and the fauna, the flora, everything starts to pop up, and the conditions are right, then extremely primitive human life forms will appear, and they don't even look human from what they say. It's like very primitive. And it begins the evolution. However, the other part that's unique to our world is that beginning about a million years ago, there was an advanced race based in the Sirian star system that had done some genetic manipulations on a human race there to make them fit warriors to protect them. It's a long story, but it's on the website. It's fascinating stuff. I won't take you through every step, but the point is that millions of these genetically manipulated peoples were brought to three different planets within this solar system. One is no longer here. It was called Melona or Phaeton. The people there over time developed technologically. They were very warlike because they were trained to have a high level of aggression in the Sirian star system and shorter lifespans, much shorter, averaging around 100 years. And ultimately what they did is they got to warring with each other, and one faction got really crazy and diverted seawater into magma chambers of volcanoes and blew the darn planet apart. That today is called the asteroid belt, the second planet. Mars, big population, genetically manipulated people, also developed quite a bit and built structures and pyramids and different things there. But then there was a cosmic catastrophe which threw Mars into turmoil, and a lot of people died there. Those who survived and could flee in their ships came to the third inhabited planet. Welcome home. It's called Earth. And over all of these many, many millions, hundreds of thousands of years, etc., Some people stayed, some evolved, some devolved, but the genetics got passed on to all of the Earth people and the various races that were here or that came here or that were arising naturally, so that instead of having the more normal multi-hundred-year lifespans and more, everybody on Earth inherited these two manipulations, short lifespans and propensity for increased aggression and violence. Look around. That's us.
Right. Now, this was done, I guess, intentionally, but were we part of an original plan that didn't go the way it should have?
You could say that in a way, because what happened once the peoples were brought here from other worlds, there was the natural evolution got thrown off. In some ways, it got vastly accelerated in certain cases when more advanced humans would mate with primitive but already functioning humanoids here and races would be formed. But it was, in some ways, you could say that there was interference and that things, I think, went out of the natural order, but so it was. We had beings coming here several thousands of years ago who represented themselves as the creators of the universe, and they were the ones who became known as the gods and God and this and that of our religions. And that has set in motion untold grief. Right. Untold grief.
Now, do you think that some of them are still pulling the strings in certain ways today?
No. What happened is many of those races either left or died off, and there was only one race that's reported on in this material that was based, and their base was in Egypt underneath the Great Pyramid, about a mile deep. And they were an offshoot of the same race that these Pleiaren, the friendly people that Meyer deals with, came from. And they, though, had an agenda more to control the planet, enslave people, etc. And some of these kind of brutal, bloodthirsty gods, Jehovah and others from the past, were part of their crew, if you will. They were removed from the planet in 1978 by the Pleiaren because of certain circumstances which are explained in the material. And what we know about that and what I can tell you about that is that they did have a lot of people under control, over 740 some people, under a certain kind of what they call a telenautic or telenoetic control, which was a sophisticated form of mind control hypnosis that they used, that they could transmit through radio, through power lines, all sorts of clever things. But once they were removed from the planet by the Pleiaren, the active machinations ended. But there are still lingering effects of that, that the Pleiaren say are going to be with us for still a couple centuries because of how insidious this was. But there's no evil aliens ruling over, pulling strings. This is more of the BS agenda that people want to sell their stupid books and divert attention away from the truth. And my attitude is, first of all, it sounds harsh when I say those things, but I would say to any listener, any viewer, you ask these people, the ones you think possibly are telling the truth about all this alien stuff, to give you one real piece of testable evidence, and they can't, they won't, and they will song and dance their way around it. The Meyer case has literally hundreds and hundreds of pieces of still irreproducible, phenomenally clear evidence. None of the people that make the claims can give you any information of any importance. They make everything up. The people that channel, they're basically just going into schizophrenic mode. The people that claim that they're getting messages, all BS, nothing of any value. And I started looking into channeling 32 years ago, 1986. So I have experience of going and going, looking for something real. There was nothing real there. So this is why there's an urgency now. And I don't mind if people say, oh, yeah, I'll bet it's not true. I'm going to check it. Check it out. Question, send challenges. I'll answer any and all emails, challenges, questions, because if the people who are going to be interested in your show and your generation and all, and others that might, you know, be watching your audience, I'm not going to limit it. If they want to know the truth, they can find it. And I will give them all the help in the world without asking them to believe anything. And you don't have to buy anything. Yes, we've got great books and great videos and all that stuff, but there's so much free information on my website, my blog, and those places linked from there, you can spend months going through stuff, and then you'll know the truth, even in less time than that.
Yes, and speaking of some of the evidence, I understand he had some amazing photographic evidence of ships that he had taken.
Yes, well, Meyer had taken altogether well over 1,200 clear, primarily daytime, but nighttime too, UFO photos, films, way before computers. None of this stuff was digital, and video. And he had metal samples that were tested at IBM. He made sound recordings in open fields with more than a dozen people around observing. Those were tested in four different sound studios. His evidence is abundant. It's specific. It's irreproducible. It's incomparable. And it's so clear. And if people go to my website, if they go to the blog, they'll start seeing this stuff. You know, the X-Files, they used one of Meyer's photos for their poster, I Want to Believe. Oh, it goes on and on and on like this. But his evidence is it's the only real evidence. Most UFO sightings are not extraterrestrial. There's a lot of sightings. And there's some films here and there and photos. Most of it's secret military. And a lot of it comes from our secret military. They're making, you know, they're always working on weapons to destroy instead of using the gray matter to learn how life really works. You know, there's an expiration date to this aggression thing, and it's going to be very painful for our country as well if we don't change course. And it doesn't look like, you know, the powers that be want to change course. They just want more power. So Meyer's evidence, as you say, yep, phenomenal stuff.
Yeah. Now, I want to get into some of the prophecies that they talked to Billy Meyer about. Now, first, I'd like to start with some that have already come to pass. Talk about some of the more prophetic things that have actually come to pass that was talked about.
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm not looking at a page right now. I'll just tell you. I mean, first of all, when he was 14 in 1951, Meyer is the first person to specifically warn about unnatural man-made climate change, the coming global warming, the damage to the ozone, the danger from radiation, the coming increase in frequency and intensity of volcanoes, earthquakes, blizzards, storms, tsunamis, and what have you. His teacher told him in 1948 that during this period of time we're in now, there will be a lot of earthquakes in central Italy that will lead to the eruption of five major volcanoes there and also begin the eruption of submarine undersea volcanoes. In 1958, he foretold the fall of the Berlin Wall, the two U.S. wars with Iraq and the Gulf, specifically stating that the second one would be led by a president who would be the son of a former president, George Bush Jr. there. He specifically foretold AIDS by name, the crystal meth epidemic, the use of plastic bank cards, the portable telephones, the fact that every home would have a television and a computer connected electronically around the world. That's called the internet, 1958. The rise of irrepressible Islamist fundamentalist terrorism worldwide that would be virtually unstoppable. The fall of Europe to the immigration crisis that would be engineered by Angela Merkel. He foretold Russia moving their troops to an obscure place in northern Siberia called Arkhangelsk. That was published in 87. They moved their troops there in 2012. We can go on and on and on. I mean, it's on my websites. We have over 200 of these, well over 200, plus scientifically accurate prophetic information pertaining to wandering black holes, the speed of light, the speed of gravity, information on every planet in our solar system that he published before we discovered it.
Wow. Yeah. Now, let's talk about some of the things that have not come to pass. I understand he might have talked about the dangers of technologies.
Yeah. Well, Meyer also, both in 1987, in what's called the Hanok prophecies, where he was doing these warnings about Russia and things that would befall over there. Plus, in there, he talked about the danger of the U.S. provoking Russia into a world war. And he said that should this world war come about, there will be the use of very advanced technologies laser, biological, chemical, and computer weapons. And the danger is the computerized weapons will take over with a mind of their own and turn against humankind. In 1995, he wrote about the coming advances in robotics, androids, and artificial intelligence and all this stuff. So he's well ahead of everything, but very specifically. So it's almost anything you can think about asking it, more advanced people. He asked, or he was told voluntarily by them about these things. It just literally goes on and on and on. And so, yeah, if you ask if I can remember a specific thing, I'll just fill in the blanks.
Well, another thing that we are experiencing right now is the Earth changes like you talked about. I understand that he foretold very large earthquakes, tsunamis, very terrifying things that could come to pass.
Yeah, I'll give you some on that. In 2005, he was given information, we published it that year, that there will be a 9.0 off the coast of Portland that will run for five straight minutes at 9.0, and then a huge tsunami comes in. Then another earthquake and another tsunami. In 2008, OSU, that's Oregon State University, published the same warnings. There is a warning from the Playarn pertaining to Cumbre Vieja volcano in the Canary Islands that will erupt with certainty, and unless scientists and people grade down the western facing side, when that thing erupts, a trillion tons of mass go into the Atlantic and start a shockwave tsunami that spreads not only north and south, but clear across to the U.S. that can penetrate up to 12 miles inland and kill 20 million people along the eastern seaboard. When the Fukushima event happened, within maybe 3 to 5 days, they told Meyer it's already a worst possible case scenario, super worst possible case. Meltdown had occurred, radioactive particles are appearing over northern Europe, and parts of the seas will be dead. All of this stuff, which is we're just now beginning to hear, they told him the true extent of damage of the BP disaster. A finding came out just a couple years ago that virtually echoed what he was told. Again, on and on and on. Our scientists won't listen. And I am shadow banned on a lot of the YouTube sites and things. So when I try to reach out to people that are talking about the environment, that are talking about these things, they never get my comments. So it really requires that young people like yourselves test out, find out about this information. And because you're not yet shadow banned, you find all these environmental, you know, Greenpeace, I don't think they want to know about this. You know, they want to raise money and do their thing, but they better know, because what they know about the environment is this big compared to what Meyer has already been told and published. And if these environmental groups and these scientists would get their heads out of their dark enclosures, they might be able to start to really address that which is far more serious than all of these people have any idea at all about.
Now, did they talk about the causes of these calamities and this extreme earth changes?
Basically, all of it is rooted in overpopulation. And a lot of people get nervous when they hear that. They think, oh, some, you know, aliens are trying to kill us all. No, the real genocides are planned by what are called the elite. Those people who also know there's too many people and want to wipe out a lot of them. But that's not extraterrestrials doing it. And that's not the way to adjust the population. We need to have enforced birth control regulation. Oh, but I want to have 10 kids. It's my right. So we now have 9 billion people on a planet that doesn't grow. And the resources get exhausted. We have to keep using more and more artificial means, pollutants, fertilizers, chemicals of all sorts to try to force more production of more food, add more preservatives, pollute more water, pollute the air. So we're killing ourselves off while we overbreed. That is not the sign of a smart species. It doesn't happen in nature anywhere else. Only human beings who have been corrupted by ridiculous religion go forth and multiply in their religions, and they can't think their way out of a paper bag that it's just like, okay, the door to your home has just been opened, and a bunch of people are now going to live in your home. and they're going to keep marching in to fill your place up. That's what happens globally. And so you are going to have from that, overpopulation always leads to strife, to wars, civil wars, famines, you name it. And we're in that now. And what you're seeing in Europe, this is an evidence of it, where countries, there's a couple reasons. One, countries have overbred, undereducate, irresponsible in terms of being able to support themselves, so they just let their peoples run through Europe, causing a lot of trouble. There's a small percentage who are really refugees running for their lives, but many, probably most, are just economic refugees who want to freeload. And it happens in this country too. This isn't about these are good people, this is a good race, a bad race. There are principles of survival. And what the Pleiaren have been teaching is, look, the way it works is, if you're living in a country with great prosperity, then teach other countries how to have what you have. Don't go exploiting them like our country's done for 100 years. Don't go invading and overthrowing and stealing resources. And so the part two of the migrant crisis thing is, it's the law of cause and effect. Cause and effect. Who's being overrun now in Europe? Some of these empire-oriented countries too, Germany, France, Great Britain, and others that, you know, the Dutch, you know, all these people that before just ran around exploiting. And what happens to the U.S.? Same thing. But in the U.S., you've got the left and the right who both want to break the country down for different reasons. The left wants to break it down and have more and more voters and have some kind of utopian ideal, which won't happen. And the right wants to have cheap labor, cheap labor, cheap labor, and it doesn't think about the consequences. And good people who, you know, who need to be educated, who don't have a means in their country, rush in if they can. And they, a lot of people are hardworking. It's not about bad people. It's about people who don't understand and whose first obligation, as hard as it sounds, is to raise the standards in their own country up. We cannot get around that. So what will happen is, both sides, a country that lets its people just flow out into other countries, it never evolves its own self-responsibility because the rulers don't care. They're just there to rip the people off. And the country that's, quote-unquote, invaded by masses of people who work for less money or won't work at all and are on welfare and all that, that country then, it degrades its standards. It doesn't help the people. Really, from that country, sure, some people will send money home or whatever. People are hardworking. As a note, when I started, I was a single dad, and when I had to raise my daughter myself and I had no skills, I went out and I worked. Car washes, restaurants, you know, delis, janitorial, whatever. And I worked with very nice people, most of whom were here illegally, sweet people. But their first act was to break the laws of the country. Now, I didn't think about it at the time, and I'm glad I didn't, because I enjoyed the fellowship with people, and they were hard-working people. If only they had those opportunities or made sure they had them in their own countries, you would see these other countries start to come up to the standards they want. And that's part of what's taught in this material, because you can't have a world where there's just a few big superpowers that have everything and nobody else gets raised up because they're exploited. And religions, not all countries that overbreed are religious, but a great number are, especially Catholic Church stuff. I'm just telling it like it is. Those countries, you know, are still like they're being held in a childlike enslavement that, no, no, keep breeding. Give us your money. Oh, you can't do it. Go into another country. That's irresponsibility. And the first level, in the first principle in the spiritual teaching is complete self-responsibility. So these are hard lessons. They're going to be harder because we haven't bothered to learn them. So over the next couple of hundred years, we're going to see a world full of just tremendous hardship, tremendous. And we're going to have to get through it and learn how life works and dump politics and dump religion and get into learning how life works.
Yeah, and that reminds me of the prophecy that there would possibly be a civil war upcoming.
Two civil wars. Now, you're on it, because in Meyer first warns of that in 1981. I think his teacher mentions it even earlier, but in 81, he publishes it. In 86, I read it for the first time because he publishes again in 87. And as I say it frequently, I said, I laughed out loud. America's more civil wars. There's nothing to laugh about now. We are in the early stages of civil war. We are seeing the polarization, the lunacy of the left, the lunacy of the right, which is going to get a lot stronger too. And so you see all the people polarized against each other and not behaving like civilized, intelligent human beings who need to work the problems out cooperatively with each other. If the left isn't happy with who's president, he was elected, by the way, then you've got to go about the process of electing somebody else. You don't go and start a phony, witch hunt on somebody just to get them out of there. Now, the president is a pretty chaotic person. Even the play Aaron said that about him. So it's not like we're cheerleaders for Trump. But if you don't do things the right way, you get worse mess. And the possibility that there could be civil wars, assassination, anarchy, it's clearly in this material. They've already said that after 2020, if things don't change in the American mindset, the superpower USA may cease to exist after 2020. That means, to begin with, the breaking up of the United States and anarchy, civil war, unrest. You could still have a central, if not decentralized, central federal government that's still causing war all over the world, and we're fighting with each other. And then, according to Meyer from last year, there's coming a large global financial crash that only a few intelligent and savvy financial analysts are really talking about. And there's a good one. His name is Bill Bonner, and he knows, and he writes about this stuff. He doesn't know about the Meyer material, but he's echoing it. When that financial crash comes, Meyer said also about the people in America will be dispossessed of everything. That means there's going to be a way that the government, the banks, will take everything from everybody to try and enslave. And then they will turn the police and the military against the partly heavily armed populace. This is not, so when people are worrying about ascending to the next level and 5D and, ascended misers or whatever they're babbling about and ETs that are channeling through them, these people need a cold shower, fast, a bucket of ice, something, a reality check, because your life, you're going to be completely, and I'm saying this to a lot of people, a lot of it. I cannot imagine the shock that is going to come. When these things come down, we are not prepared for them. We've never seen war in our country, which could come to us if we keep on pushing Russia, and we won't win that war, by the way. And then to have civil disobedience in these levels, anarchy and civil war, which we haven't seen for 200 years, almost. I mean, people will be nuts because they're not prepared. They are suckered. And Meyer wrote about this in 1958. They're fooled by the images of everything they see. They're lost with phantasmagoria, tricked by what their eyes see. So everything is online. It's QAnon and this one and all the different people talk. There's a thing called Contact 706, recently published in April. You read that about what the real state of America is, as described by the play Aaron, who've been one of the people who was tasked for over 100 years of studying our politics, of studying religions and stuff. We're like in Disneyland with what we get. This is all entertainment, folks. Even the worst of it, it's entertainment compared to the real truth that underlies what is really going on. And believe me, I'm not calling for any kind of revolution against anything. I'm calling for the inner revolution, where we start to wake up, we study, we learn how to think, and we learn how our thoughts create our feelings, create our thoughts, create our actions, so that we can create the lives we want, instead of thinking that a bunch of political, religious leaders and other phonies are going to do anything for us. Why? Be your own hero. Create your own life. Do it in concert with other good, sane, stable, cooperative, intelligent people. You're all seeking truth. You don't have to agree on everything. You work it out. But you go in the same direction towards truth, not this gobbledygook. As soon as your computer's off, where did QAnon go? I thought we were all in a big revolution. Well, are you involved with QAnon? What? It's all gone. When you have the teaching, it's not all gone. You can download a lot of it. You can get the books. You can see some of it in videos. then you have it and you can study it and your life changes from the inside out, and nothing dramatic has to happen outwardly. People don't start going, oh, you're strange, you're glowing gold and silver. It's about you start to see and feel and think and act differently moment by moment. Your life starts to become your own creation. That's what they're working against. That's what they want, the enslavement of the individuals, not the individuals who have awakened and have joined together in a consciousness revolution.
Very well said. Yes, and I agree. I agree completely. Now, you had mentioned Trump earlier. I'd like to know what they said about our President Trump.
Sure. Well, the first thing that I saw was in June of 2016, Meyer asked the Playaron who was going to win the presidential election. And they said, well, you may not say anything about this yet, but it's going to be Donald Trump. And he says, oh, okay, that's strange. Well, why can't I say anything? And they said, because if people knew now for certain that Trump would win, there are those in the Secret Services and in the Democrat Party that would have him killed. Oh, really? Well, what kind of a person is he? Asks Meyer. Well, they said, he's a kind of chaotic, catastrophic guy. He's not really political. He's his own party. He's not a bad person. He's got a couple good ideas because he does care about his country, but he's got some really bad ideas. Well, for instance, they said, well, if he can keep his country out of the globalization, which he wants to do, that's good. If he can forge a peaceful alliance with Russia, that would be good. But it's all doubtful because those around him are going to be pushing on him to do the opposite. The things where he really needs to change is in terms of the environment, he's just contributing to the destruction. And in terms of health care, it's terrible. There's hope that maybe that will change. Now, since then, as is written also in Contact 706, they say, well, you know, Trump has been pushed like every other president before him, including Obama, who started off, you know, with great visions and hope and all this stuff. He's been already pushed into, you know, the wrong directions, his own irrationality and instability and chaotic personality has already risen up. And it's funny because there's an article about the Bob Woodward book that was just online today. Reading it, it reminds me of what Meyer was told about him, that, you know, this guy is really like a bull in a china shop. And a lot of what the right is thinking is progress that has been made, which would be wonderful if it was, jobs and the economy and all. As the economist and financial expert Bill Bonner points out, it isn't so, and he explains why. So what we have here is coming an economic collapse. If Trump is still around, he's going to have to own it with all this stuff. So he's going to probably take it pretty badly one way or the other. They're going to impeach him. You know, I hope they don't shoot stuff at him physically, but could happen. Or he's going to last, and then the thing collapses, and it's all in his head, and who knows what. So it's a mess because you only get what people are fed, whether it's left or right. So in some ways, Trump isn't as bad as the left makes him out, and he's not as good as the right makes him out. He's worse than either one thinks in some ways. So this is what we've got right now, and this is why this is a dog and pony show. And as Meyer even said in 2016, I asked him about this and who, you know, in May, before the Playaron had spoken to him, what do you think of Trump and Clinton? He said, well, if Clinton wins the election, the devil is loose again, just like with George Bush. If Trump wins, it's just as dumb. And he's proven to be right again. It's just as dumb. And when you read Contact 706 or Woodward's article, you're going to realize, geez, it really is just as dumb. The only difference is we weren't in a nuclear war in December of 2016 because Clinton, had she won, she would have started a war with Russia, and it would all be, we'd be crisp by now because she's a lunatic and a psychopath. But they told Meyer in 2008 that she will never hold power in her hands for what she wants to do, which was also saying she would never be president. So what you've got here is a lot going on that, again, it's entertainment at best, because what Meyer also said in 2016 and again in this article, as the Playaron say, the minority, the people who are well-intentioned, who are good people, and there's plenty in America, we're just the minority, can't do anything to change the big picture. What they have to do is start changing the consciousness, the way they think and feel and act. And I'm going to blog about it again soon. I was planning on doing it this week, because it's inner work and then aligning with other like-minded people any way you can. I have a DVD workshop called the Consciousness Workshop or Standing in Spirit. And I created it in 1990 originally. And I put out this DVD way back 2006. I wrote to Switzerland at the time and asked Billy, hey, I do this thing. It's a separate thing I do. If you don't want it on the website that I've put up for this work, tell me and I'll take it down, put it elsewhere. And he said, no, teach that. That's part of the spiritual teaching. Teach it. People need every lecture you do, show people how to do that. So what it is, it's something that happened to me when I was having a particular challenge in my life. It just happened. It taught me from the inside out how to deal with emotional problems, where they are in the body physically, how to dissipate these things, how to check yourself and your own progress. That's one thing I created. Then I created a technique called Future Self. I created that in 1985, and I just last year figured out how to instruct people to use their own cell phones to interact with themselves, set their goals, record themselves, and interact using video on their phones or tablets or anything for their own goal setting and accomplishment. And people love that thing, because instead of just always looking at and texting what's up to everybody, you can interact with yourself and say, this is what I'm going to do. Then there are all the steps that show themselves when you put the questions in that you answer. So I am trying to do my part to bring awareness to people of these things. And then, of course, the magnificent spiritual teaching as Meyer has authored it, or as he's transcribed it from ancient times. That's in the books. That's articles that are freely available online. So we're just trying to say to people, turn away for a while. Just minimize the saturation of your poor brain with stuff that doesn't elevate you. It titillates, entertains, diverts, distracts, and disinforms.
Yes, very well said. I agree that if people could just work on themselves, they could improve everything around them, just by starting with their own selves.
Well, they can. And look, there are meetings of groups connected to the Meyer material. I mean, you can do a lot of this, and you should, on your own. You got to start reading, folks, and start thinking. If you want to use my DVD workshop, great. If you want to use my Future Self technique, I have it as an ebook up on Amazon. You can download it for $10. But you can also then come onto my blog and start talking about the material there with other people from around the world and find out who's there. Where are they having meetings? So you can just come and meet with like-minded people. You don't have to pay for that. It's not a cult. You don't join things. You don't give away your possessions. You try to meet like-minded people who are recognizing the value of their own lives, and they want to improve their lives and right around them. And that's going to change the big picture for a long time.
I thought we'd end with something along the same lines, that are we going to ever see a time of peace? Are we going to see a time where all of this chaos and this evil ends?
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked that, because, see, a lot of people think that when, you know, prophecies are warnings about bad things so that we won't have them come down on us. Predictions are usually things, too, that are pretty bad that we can't change because it's cosmic stuff, meteors, things coming in, certain kind of an earthquake or whatever. But as Meyer writes in his 1958 letter, in the far distant time when human beings have come to their senses, when the women have attained their rightful position as the true mothers of the millennia, the leaders, because they have the wisdom, they are not aggressive, they're not seeking domination and power, and they allow their true feminine strength and power to come forward, and men start to understand that and respect it. In the far distant time, we will make peace with ourselves, with the survivors of this mess that's going to come. We will then get the technologies to heal the earth and the seas and the air and do wonderful things. And yes, we will travel to the stars eventually. All our problems won't be over. There'll be new ones that begin once we venture into space. Other things, because that's evolution. You know, eventually we, our distant future selves, will be the extraterrestrials who find worlds where people are just beginning to evolve, and at the right time, we can come to assist. So reality is so far greater. There's trillions of years of evolution to come. We can't imagine that. We don't know. We don't get it. Of course not. We've grown up saturated by BS, basically. Whether it's politics, religion, entertainment, okay, a little goes a long way. So now, in the far distant time, if we realize that that will be, we want to start living that way now. Oh, I want to meet the extraterrestrials. Don't worry about that. Be like an extraterrestrial as you imagine them, that they are peaceful, that they are strong, that they care for nature, they nurture, they nourish, they are adventurous, but they're not aggressive and violent and domineering. They realize they have a universe that they can travel, as these people do, in time as well as space, and these doors will open to us when we get out of our crazy kindergarten here on planet Stupicide.
Right, because they are us. We just have to evolve to that level.
In that sense, yes, because all human life has that destiny. In the universe, there are billions of races at various levels of evolution and all that. We are one. We need to mature, to realize that we've been given everything we need in terms of guidance. It's already now here. Meyer's writings, as I say, some he authors, some are the teaching of this universe itself. And some have been brought before by the prophets before him, but they were always corrupted and turned into religion and ruined. They won't be corrupted anymore. Now you can get them. Rush. Go do it. My website, theyfly.com. We got a lot of stuff free. My blog, theyflyblog.com. I have 770 articles on there. Come and discuss them. People from everywhere are doing that. So I thank you for the opportunity. I welcome anybody that wants to ask questions or pose challenges or anything. If you want to find out where other people, like-minded people are, start, join my blog, discuss it. It's friendly most of the time.
That was some amazing information. I thank you so much for coming on, and we'd love to have you back on the show sometime.
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Michael, and you have a great night, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks so much, Chris. I really appreciate it, your interest, and my best to you and your audience.
Very good. Thank you, Michael. Good night.